In the book Road to Valor, a true story of World War II Italy, the Nazis, and the cyclist who inspired a nation, Ali McConnon and her brother, historical researcher Andres McConnon, unfold the inspiring and remarkable story of Gino Bartali, an Italian cycling legend, and of his untold story and role in a successful scheme to save Jews from the Holocaust during World War II. The book is divided into three parts: Bartali's early impoverished years in rural Tuscany through his first Tour de France victory, his courageous work during World War II, and finally his second tour triumph, which set a record for the longest span between wins in the iconic race. Andres McConnon joins us on the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
What brought the two of you, brother and sister, to this particular story?
Well, about 10 years ago, I was actually at the Tour de France myself, and I was watching. And, you know, at the time, there was a big discussion of older athletes. And generally, it's just been a kind of subject in cycling is older athletes who have won the tour and kind of how do you maintain that elite training as you age. And one name stood out, and that name that stood out was Gino Bartali, because he actually holds the record to this day for the longest time between tour victories, 10 years, and his first tour was in 38 and his second was in 48. And I was immediately fascinated because it wasn't just any 10 years, but, you know, what happened in those between those 10 years in terms of World War II was so kind of incredibly dramatic. I was immediately kind of fascinated by a question of, you know, what had happened to him? What was his war story? And at that same time, my sister Eileen was working in New York on a literary anthology that brought together responses to kind of genocide and war by different sort of big literary icons. And so I called her and just asked her about, you know, I told her about, you know, Bartali and kind of this question I'd had. And, you know, she did a little research as well and found a mention, just a kind of one or two sentence kind of thing in an Italian newspaper that Bartali had helped during, you know, the Jewish community during the war. And that kind of set off this whole detective story because nothing had really been written about it. So we kind of started wondering what happened and, you know, how did he do it and what role did his, you know, work as a cyclist play in it. So, and from there we were able to sort of start kind of uncovering different threads, and we were able to discover that Bartali had helped a secret resistance network during World War II by shuttling false identity documents to Jews hiding throughout Tuscany and Umbria. And that he also actually sheltered and saved the life of a Jewish family by keeping them in an apartment that he had won before the war with his cycling winnings, or he'd purchased with his cycling winnings.
In reading the book, he comes across as such a rich character. It seems as though, of course, there are the cycling accomplishments as well as the wartime resistance work, but because of that rich character, something that would be hard to not dig in and find out more about this individual.
That's exactly right. I mean, we really, you know, we sort of fell in love with him as a character because he was, like you said, so rich and complex. You know, he's famous as an endurance athlete, but then, you know, on the other side of it is that he's, you know, well-known in Italy for the fact that he was a chain smoker, and he'd actually started smoking heavily on the suggestion of his doctor, who had once looked at him and thought that perhaps his heartbeat was a little bit slow. And, you know, we now know that's kind of a perfectly normal thing for an elite endurance athlete because their heart is so strong. But at the time, his doctor thought that might be a bad thing, so he recommended that he start smoking and drinking coffee. And so Bartali kind of began this sort of lifestyle that we would now all find sort of remarkable, given how successful he was as an endurance athlete. The other side of that complex character is that, you know, Bartali was actually, he was a very religious man, and he very much the Tim Tebow of his era. You know, he would kind of always get newspaper coverage of, you know, his religious devotion. He met and was friends with different popes in Italy. But at the same time, he was also someone who wasn't afraid to get into a loud fight. And, you know, if you got too close to him, whether you were a fan or a foe, he wasn't afraid to hit you. So he kind of two sides on sort of different points, and that sort of made him more human for us, and I don't know, made him more interesting.
You spoke a moment ago about the decision to uncover this story. Your research took you to France and to Italy and to Israel, and really a long journey, which gives you an idea of the scope of the story.
It was a long journey, and a lot of that came from the fact that, that just nothing had been written about it, particularly the war side. Bartali is incredibly famous in Italy and even Europe generally. You know, he's sort of the Joe DiMaggio of his era. He's so famous, and him and his big rival, everybody was sort of either for him or for his rival. But this whole war story was sort of something that was much more undiscovered. And on top of that, you know, just the challenges of researching something from the war era, you know, it's the documentation isn't always centralized and all of that, so you have to get out there to get the testimonies. And in our case, really, the highlight, I think, was, part of it was going to Israel and actually interviewing the surviving member of this family that was saved by Gino Bartali, because that really put a very human face on the whole experience of the war. And kind of all of the, you know, statistics and things that we'd been researching and the sort of broader historical things, it all kind of came to bear and came to a very human kind of experience in the story of this one family that was saved by Gino Bartali.
In looking at this man, one of the things I found fascinating about the book is just how popular he was in Italian society. This is a guy that even Italians today have a very strong opinion about.
He really was someone who kind of grew well past the confines of just being a sports hero to being a real cultural figure and someone who helped shape the cultural zeitgeist. I mean, it's fascinating that he was, like I said, friends with popes, but also various artists like Pavarotti. He was also the subject of an impressive body of poetry, music, art, even a theatrical play. And a lot of that stems from the fact that he became popular and became famous at the time that popular sports culture was really taking off. So he was sort of the leading man at the time that this kind of new exciting world was just sort of finding its feet. But at the same time, a lot of that fame also speaks to his, vibrant and tempestuous personality. He wasn't someone, you know, nowadays who would have kind of the spin doctor and the press relations and all of that. He was very unvarnished, like I said earlier, very unafraid to be argumentative. And I think a lot of Italians found that honest and sort of authentic and kind of really captivating. You know, he was the guy that kind of always told you how it was, or, you know, kind of shoot straight from the hip, or however you want to explain it, and that was sort of captivating. And it, to me, it's a very big contrast now to the sort of more staged, managed kind of stars that we know today.
How much of his family was available and alive to talk to you about him?
We interviewed his widow, Adriana, and his son as well, and we actually spent a lot of time speaking as well, you know, beyond just close friends and family, with his teammates, because Bartali had famously said that, when he was racing, because he'd be away for so many months at a time around Europe, he famously said that, you know, he'd spent more time with his teammates than he had his family. And so they were all very kind of forthcoming in giving us a real kind of close-hand account, especially of those key moments in his life, and really also helping us kind of pierce through the myth of, you know, that he was a three-dimensional character, and kind of speaking to his weaknesses, speaking to his human foibles and quirks, and kind of getting beyond the, if you will, the legend and finding the man there. And so that was a really sort of enriching experience as an author, you know, just to be able to speak with these people who had kind of the remarkable shared life experience with him.
Did he keep records? Was he interested in sort of preserving much of his story and his history?
He kept records of his cycling accomplishments, and, you know, he was a kind of very a dedicated kind of early enthusiast for sort of kind of a more kind of documented training method. In terms of his war kind of experiences, there he was more reluctant to really share that. Early on he didn't talk to family and friends. This is after the war, but, you know, later he would talk to them. But he was actually always quite reluctant to speak about it in the press. Only a little bit later did he speak a little bit about more in his own writings. But, and that really stemmed from his own sense that, he'd worked always with the help of other people, and a lot of those other people were just, you know, ordinary Italians who did this remarkably heroic thing by saving other, saving Jews in Italy. And he kind of felt that it would, because he was so famous, because he, you know, had, you know, he had so much more of a national presence than them, he felt that if he sort of talked about it a lot, that people would naturally kind of ascribe him a sort of a leadership role or make it seem like he did everything. And he felt very uncomfortable that he would kind of sort of outsize them or overshadow their contributions, especially since so many of them had done so much and many had even perished doing it. So he always had this sort of kind of uncomfortable relationship with what he'd done during the war, and uncomfortable reluctance to share the kind of heroic side of what he had done. And what was fascinating, I would just add, is that when we went and met with the surviving member of the family saved by Bartali, the Jewish fellow who lives in Israel, he actually shared that in a funny way, in that he had said that, you know, that the experience of the war had been so difficult, and, you know, their family had lost first cousins and it had been so challenging for them, that he also, even though he'd had this remarkable story of being saved and rescued, he also had been very reluctant to speak about it. So there was just because he didn't want to bring up those memories, and he was trying to sort of put the past behind him. But there was a kind of an interesting mirroring of both for the rescuer and the person rescued of that just sort of incredible reluctance to speak about that challenging area.
It is a fascinating story. The book is Road to Valor, A True Story of World War II Italy, The Nazis and the Cyclist Who Inspired a Nation. The book is published by Crown. Andres McConnon, I thank you so much for being with us this morning. Best of luck with the book, and thank you
again. Thanks so much.
A great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.